Okay, Shalom Aleichem Rabbeisa. We are in Chovetz Halvavos Shara Bitochen, the seventh and final chapter. Chovetz Halvavos now is basically tying up the subject. So we're in my Lev Tov edition. It's page Shin Ayin Tes. It's toward the end of the, well, I should say, the middle end of the seventh parak, the paragraph that begins Uklaloi Shel Davar. Uklaloi Shel Davar. We began seeing this yesterday, and I said that we would elaborate today, Bli Neder. So let's see. Uklaloi Shel Davar. The Be'inin HaBitochen. The bottom line when it comes to Bitochen is Ki Yisroin HaBitochen Me'aboitchim Be'elikim. A person's bitachin in Hashem will correspond to his knowledge of Hashem. In other words, the more aware a person is of Hashem in a sensory way, in a real, tangible way, the more bitachin will naturally follow. Yesterday, we gave the definition of the Chazon Ish, how he said that emuna is halacha and bitachin is lemaisa, meaning emuna is knowing that there's Hashem out there, and bitachin is the understanding that he's actually here right now. He's actually hands-on on top of things right now. It's bitachin, sorry. Bitachin is emuna applied. Now I want to say this all. I said that this deserves some more elaboration. I want to elaborate now from a bit of a different angle. I'll illustrate it with something that Reb Shimshon Pinkus said. He said that he was one time sent a letter by somebody with all kinds of different questions of where do you draw the line? Where is it already too much ishtadlus? And he was asking, like, in all kinds of different areas of life, should I do this? Should I not do this? Is this too much ishtadlus? Is that not enough ishtadlus? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So Reb Shimshon Pinkus said, thank you. So Reb Shimshon Pinkus said, I could have started getting into all the ins and outs of what yes and what not. He said, but that really there was something missing there. Bitochen is not about where should I do ishtadlus, where should I not do ishtadlus. Or the other side of the coin, as we've often said, bitochen is not a coping mechanism. Bitochen is about feeling close to Hashem. It's about sensing Hashem. That's where it has to start with. When bitachon turns technical, all the different areas of Yiddishkeit can turn technical. When bitachon turns technical, it is missing the point. It begins with it begins and ends with sensing Hashem's closeness, the way he said it back at the beginning. Bitachon is the security in the knowledge that I'm in the best of hands, that Hashem is holding me in his hand and moving me through life and manipulating my life in his love and in his care. So it's about sensing Hashem. Which brings us back to the point that I made the other day, that to just start bitachon in a vacuum, shara bitachon, without going through shara b'china, without going through the other things, is also to a large extent a shame, because it's like, you know, you want bitachon for its practical benefits. How do you navigate tough situations? But that's not the essence of it. The essence of it is that knowledge that you are being cared for intensely by someone with a capital S who loves you intensely and knows what's best for you, and to sense that, to feel that. So therefore he says, bitachon will correspond to, kifi yisrani diyosam oisai, to the extent that one knows Hashem, vemunosam baganosai aleim, and to the extent that one believes that Hashem is caring for them and protecting them, and how much he is working for your benefit. And now he goes on and says, "V'hine hayeled b'tchilas inyanai." When you have a child in the early stages of life, here he's saying the same idea that we discussed yesterday, that when it comes to cause and effect, the more immediate the cause, the less powerful it is. And the further removed the cause, the more powerful it is. So he gives another, this is another example. He says you have a child in the early stages of life. He knows, again, what is the source of his sustenance? What is his lifeline? His mother's breast. Like the pasuk says, Mavtichi al shdei imi. When David HaMelech is describing the wonders of the various stages of life, he says, Hashem gave me the security of my mother's breast. So that's, he knows the breast. That is where life comes from. That's where my welfare comes from. And then as his understanding grows, then he learns to see that there's so much more than just this part of the body. There's a woman there. There's a whole person there. And this is the person that he now places his trust in, because she is so involved in his care. And this is already so much broadening his horizons and his understanding to a whole new level. Like the pasuk says, David says, I'm relaxed, I'm calm. I see my soul as kagamula leimai, kagamula leinafshi. I really feel myself, I feel secure the same way that a baby feels secure in his mother's hands. So that's stage number two. He sees his welfare as being in the hands of his mother. As his awareness grows further, he sees that the one who is his mother is actually in his father's care. He is the one who's providing the shelter. He's the one who's providing the food. He's the one who's taking care of their life. And his mother operates inside that. So then, then, he moves it to the next stage. He puts his trust into his father's care. And then as the child grows and he matures physically, and he already reaches a level of maturity that he can start attending to his own sustenance. He already gains the abilities to work, he gains skills, he gains the ability to do business. So then he takes his trust to the next level. Then he places his trust into his own skill, into his own ability. And that's because of the fact that he moved through life experiencing different stages, but he never put together the whole picture. There was a stage that he lived off his mother's breast. Then there was the stage that he saw in his mother, the savior, the source of his welfare. Then he saw in his father. But if he can now retroactively come and understand that all of these things are things that Hashem provided for your welfare. Hashem provided you with your mother. Hashem provided you with your father, your mother's love, your father's love. Their care are all reflections of Hashem's care. Then as he moves into the next stages of life where he becomes independent, he should be moving into a place where now he continues on to the next stage of life, feeling that he is in Hashem's hands, riding on Hashem's care. V'amu alecho min ha-chasidim. They say about a certain pious man, that his neighbor was a successful scribe. And this was in the days that not everybody was literate. Whenever you needed anything documented, etc., you went to the local scribe. And he earned a living from scribing. So one day this pious man said to him, to the scribe, he said, how you doing? So he said, I'm doing just fine. See, I have my hand, I have a hand This is the hand that writes. As long as I have my hand is complete, I'll be fine. In other words, he's saying, you never have to worry about me. I have my skill. I have my writing abilities. I'm taken care of. You never have to worry about me. So, in other words, he was attributing his welfare, he was attributing his success to the fact that he has a hand. That's my hand. No one can take it from me. The skill is me. That night, his hand got chopped off in some accident. He never again wrote with that hand. And this was a punishment brought upon him by Hashem because of the fact that he put his faith, he put his trust into his own hand. So, therefore, what the Chavis HaLevavos wants of us is the stages should be that if a person, yes, if he's sustained by others, let's say back to the case of a person who's sustained by his mother, his father, so he will naturally feel his sense of security coming from them. But what we would expect is that part of the maturing process should be, as his understanding grows, and he learns to see how those people who he depends on, how much they depend on Hashem, he will come to trust Hashem. But also this can move in stages. I'm sorry, just one second. So a person gains the understanding that, yes, there are people who care for him. There are people who provide him with a living, be it a parent, be it a boss, etc. But if he's living with an alert mind, he'll come to see how there are areas where these people are also dependent. They too depend on Hashem. For example, and here the Chavis HaLevavos is going to build this up slowly here. For example, a person has a boss, and then Chalila, his boss grows very ill, and he becomes an invalid. He's still making money, but he needs so much help with so many different areas of life. So this person comes to see that I have to tone down the extent of ability that I relate to my boss. He provides me with my parnasa, but look at the areas where he's limited. He can't control his own health. Forget about my health, right? Money, it's one narrow area. So therefore, he says, where that goes is a person can come to a place of, this can bring a person to a basic level of bitachon. Meaning it starts like this. I recognize that there are areas that even the wealthiest, most able person can't do much about. In these areas, you have to depend on Hashem. You depend on Hashem. So therefore, he starts trusting Hashem. He puts his faith into Hashem in the areas that are outside the realm of human ability. He has no choice but to submit himself to Hashem's decisions. What are some examples? Let me give some other examples. I give the example of health, but also, rain, something that a person learns to understand. I can plant, I can plow, I can cultivate the field, I can study the subject of agriculture and put a lot of efforts into enhancing my field, enhancing my crops. But when it comes to the rain, that I simply have to hand over to Hashem. Balicha Sayam. Also, if a person is a merchant, he has to travel by sea, he understands, here there's an element of danger that I'm not in control in. I simply need Hashem's chesed. Balicha Samed Baris Mein Maim. Or going through the desert. B'vaya Shetef. Also, when it comes to natural disasters, be it an epidemic, be it a flood, these things I understand, I'm in Hashem's hands. There's the realm of my control, there's the realm of others' control, but then there's the realm of control that I just have to let go of. These, obviously, I depend on Hashem. This is an area that it's easier to come and be talking to. Those areas that we clearly understand that man has no power over. So the person with the initial wisdom learns to sense that these things are Hashem's realm, and here I depend on his input. Now, this is one level. This is, again, this is a person who has, whose mind is alert enough to see, I should not really attribute everything to human ability. I see that human ability has its limits, and therefore, there's definitely the area in my life that I see as under Hashem's control. But the areas that are under my control, those are under my control. Here, he's not applying bitachon yet. But then if he learns, if his understanding of Hashem grows further, then he already starts granting Hashem foothold also in areas where I do feel that I have some control. The more my awareness of Hashem's involvement grows, the more I see that actually he's involved in more than what I'm attributing to him. Besides just the things that are completely out of human control, that I clearly relate to, right, what we call acts of God, I start understanding that he actually has some input also in areas of my life that I do control. But these are the areas, not necessarily the things that are mamish in my control, but the areas that I see are always iffy. Like what? Such as questionable areas of parnasa, meaning questionable, I mean effective-wise. Areas of parnasa that are iffy, it's not clear whether they'll actually work or not. I'm doing my ishtadlis, here I do have some control, but I also grant that Hashem has input here as well. Okay. All right, well, we're in the middle of developing this here, but we'll stop here for tonight. Good night, Rabbi Yisai.
Good night, thank you very much.